To the Word of God, and this is a little longer than I usually read, but I want to read the whole story this morning. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, could never be healed, came unto him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." And while he yet spoke, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." And when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not. She's not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she rose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his word. I set out to bring this message today. I wanted to talk to you about the woman that was healed with the issue of blood. But the more I looked at this, the more I understood that I could not separate two things that happened in this chapter. One is a little girl, 12 years old, died, and they were bewailing her, the loss. And the other was a woman who had been sick 12 years with an issue of blood. She had a menstrual flow for 12 years. It was very, very sick. And all of these two are so entwined in this chapter that it's hard to separate one from the other. So we'll talk about both of them. Jesus is in the very thrust of his ministry. He has just come back from Gadara. He had a little spell over there among the Gadarenes. You probably read about that. In Gadara, they had been busy with God working through them right then and there. Actually, what had happened, Jesus was so overwhelmed as a human being by the throngs of people that were coming that he decided to go across the Sea of Galilee and rest on the other side and then come back. So he left in the evening, and in the night as they crossed the sea, they had some bad luck, if we call it that. A storm came up, terrible storm. They nearly all were going to be drowned. The ship was going down. Everybody didn't know what to do. And that's when they learned that Jesus had power over the wind and the rain and the storm and all the things that were going on. he stopped the storm. Now, the next morning, they got to Gadara, and when they got to Gadara, they happened to come out of the water where there was a cemetery. Now, you have to understand, their cemeteries don't look like Birch Lawn or Rose Lawn or someplace. Their cemeteries consisted of, I guess it'd be like a mausoleum. They had hollowed out places in the stone and made tombs and had stones that they rolled in a crevice that shut the door up. So when they landed where there was a cemetery. That shouldn't have been a big deal, but it was, because there were two men that lived in the tombs. Now, only one of them gets credit for it, but if you pay attention, there were two men that were living in the tombs. What a dreary life that must have been, to live in the tombs in the cemetery, sleep among the dead and decomposing bodies and all that kind of thing. It must have been horrible. Well, why would anybody do that? I'll tell you why. Because Satan had possessed these two men. And Satan was causing these men to live this horrid life. And when Jesus came and they landed and got out of the boat and walked up the shore toward the cemetery, well, these people, these two fellas that were in the tombs, they recognized him. Well, it wasn't so much they recognized him, it was the demons that was in them recognized the Lord Jesus and called out to him. And they thought when they saw him, see, the devil already knows his judgment. And if you want to talk about the devil in hell, well, he's not there yet, but he's on his way. Hell, the Bible said, was created for the devil and his angels. Well, they get out and hear these guys come. And they said, oh no, Jesus is here already. They knew him because they had seen him in heaven. That's where Jesus came from, to the earth. And they had seen him. They knew who he was. And they called out to him and said, have you come to torment us before our time? And he asked for permission to do something, if you remember the story. And the demons went out of the men. You talk about a real case of demon possession. It said, Jesus asked him, said, what's your name? He said, our name is Legion, for we are many. Roman Legion had 1,000 soldiers in it, and 1,000 demons went into a herd of hogs, and they stampeded them and ran them over a cliff, the demons did, and they were all drowned in the Sea of Galilee. And what happens in our story today is when that was over, the people, can you believe it? They had a pet devil, I guess, because they didn't want him to leave. They didn't want Jesus to bother the demons, didn't want Jesus to do anything with them, just leave. We don't want you here, we don't want you to be here. You would think they would be so happy to be rid of the demons. You would think they would be so happy for everything to be straightened out. But no, they wanted him to leave everything just like it was and leave. He put the demons into the swine. They went over the cliff and died. Jesus and the disciples got back in the ship and traveled back across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. The congregation had not moved. The whole crowd thronged him. The whole crowd of people were still there waiting on him to return, waiting on him to come back, not knowing how long it would take, but they saw something in Jesus that they couldn't see anywhere else, and they wanted to be there. So they were waiting on him when he come back. Now, when Jesus came back and he got in the crowd, the story goes like this. The people just pressed him. There were just so many people, and they were pressing, and you know how it is to be in a big crowd. And everybody gets to pushing and shoving, and everybody wants to see what's he going to do next, who's he going to heal next, what demons he going to cast out next, what's going to happen next. So everybody is looking and searching and trying to see him. And as they look and as they search and as they do all this, there comes a ruler of the synagogue. Now, I know that must have taken something from him to do this, because The religious leaders were so against Jesus. They were so against everything about him. And here is the leader of the synagogue who has come. And I'll tell you why. He didn't care what the rest of the religious people thought. His heart was moved because he had a 12-year-old daughter at home, his only child, his beloved little girl. She was dying. We don't know what with or how, but she was dying there at home. And the only thing he could think to do was to call Jesus. So he sent to Jesus. He came to Jesus. And when he came to Jesus, he said very simply, "My little girl's dying, and I want you to come, and if you will, and lay your hand on her and pray for her that she can live." We can all sympathize so much with this gentleman that came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "I will. I'll go to your house. I'll pray for her. I'll do that." And they start moving toward Jairus' house. But the problem was the crowd was so great and pushing in and pushing in. And I know that Jairus, I know where I would be if that was my little girl. I'd be wringing my hands and saying, "Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. You got all this crowd. They're always here. Hurry up." So while he's doing that, while he's waiting for that, suddenly Jesus stops the whole thing, just dead in the road. And he said, "Who touched me?" And they said, well, Peter came finally, and the others, they asked, "Who touched him?" Well, I have to tell you something. There's a difference in accidentally touching Jesus and meaning to touch Jesus. And these people are pushing in. No doubt half a dozen, maybe two dozen people touched him. No telling how many people actually touched Jesus that day. But only one got healed. Only one got healed. You know why? It was her spirit, her meaning, her reason for touching him. Everybody else was around him. Everybody else was pushing in. Some of them were disciples. Some of them were curiosity seekers. Some of them were just along for the ride. You know how it goes in a crowd. There's all kinds of people. Everything, every kind of a thing out there. Was there only one person in that crowd that was sick? I doubt that. Hundreds of people there crowding around Jesus. I would guess there were sick people everywhere in that crowd. I would guess there were many people there at home had someone laying sick. There were all kinds of things that need to be done. But Jesus, walking along, pushing, and all at once he stops. And I know Jairus has to say, "What's he doing now? What's he doing now? Let's make room for him. Let's get him in." And Jesus is saying, "Who touched me?" And they all finally, Peter and all of them, laughing at him, really, they say, "How can you ask who touched you when there's 1,000 people standing around you, pushing in, shoving in, touching you? How can you say that?" He said, "Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me." And somebody received the power of God. "I felt the virtue from me go out," he said. "I felt the power leave me and go to take care of this person, and I want to know who touched me." This poor woman comes through the crowd. You can't imagine in this day and time what this woman has been through with. She, for 12 years, has had a nonstop menstrual problem. For 12 years, she has bled. For 12 years, she has weakened. Her body has to be weak. After 12 years of continuous blood loss, her body has to be weak. She has to be dragging physically. But she has to feel so bad because they considered her unclean. Do you realize this woman has not been to church in 12 years? Do you realize she has not been to the temple in 12 years? She has not been to any gathering of people. And when she came to this meeting that Jesus is having here, she has to slip in. So she slips among the people, covered up, no doubt, with the clothes that the Jews wore over their head and all those kind of scarves. And she slips in among them. And she reaches, she says, if I can just touch, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. If I can just touch him. And so she slips in, down on the ground, crouching among the people, dodging because she don't want anybody to recognize her. If they recognize her, they're going to get her for coming out in public. She's violated their health laws. She's violated their ceremonial laws. She has, for 12 years, had no life to speak of. For 12 years, she's had a horrible existence. And he said, why don't you try to help herself? Let me tell you something. The writer of this book, I don't mean the whole Bible, but the writer of this story is a man named Luke. What's his position in life? He's a doctor. He's a physician. Dr. Luke writes about this story, and he says she suffered many things of many physicians, and she spent all that she had, all of her money, all of her assets, everything that she had been spent, and she was no better. She was worse. She was getting worse every day. She had no hope in this world of finding a solution to her health problem. She had no way of solving the things that were going on in her life. What a terrible thing it was that she was going through with. Now, most of the time, we sing about it, and we talk about it. And what do we want to talk about? We want to talk about Jesus touching us. We want to talk about Jesus touching us. And aren't we glad when he touches us? Aren't we glad that Jesus will touch us? Aren't we glad that Jesus can touch us? But this woman's faith is different. She wants to touch him. She wants to touch Jesus. It's not Jesus touching her. It's this woman's faith says, if I can touch him. You see, the Jews wore this outer cloak over themselves, and on the corners there was a tassel, a prayer tassel, on every corner hanging down. And that's what she touched. And she reached through the crowd, reached around the people, and got a hold of the hem of his garment, the tassel. And when she held onto that tassel, right from glory through him came the Holy Ghost. And isn't that wonderful? Give God a hand. Amen. I mean, when she touched him, it happened. Her faith was, if I can just touch him, not if he can just touch me, if I can touch him, what does it mean to reach out and be able to touch God? Be able to touch him, not only for him to touch you, but you to touch him. Oh, if I can just touch him, she thinks. Well, bless her heart. But what about Jairus? You remember before all this started, Jairus has asked Jesus if he'll come to his house. Jesus is supposed to be on the way to Jairus' house because his little girl is dying. And how long do you think this took? This took a while. Jairus is standing there going, but my little girl is dying. He stopped and talked to this woman. She's a grown woman. She's been sick for 12 years. My little girl's dying. How can he stop and do this? He has to be exasperated. Jairus' faith has to be stretched to the limit right then, because he's mourning the loss of his daughter already. She's dying. He's done all he can do. They've done everything they know to do, and the little girl is in the process of dying, and he has come to Jesus, and Jesus is going to his house. You know, he felt a relief when he heard Jesus say, yes, I'll come. Yes, I'll go to your house. Yes, I'll pray for your little girl. What a relief he must have felt. What lifting of a burden that must have been to him. But you know, here he is. All of this crowd, let's get on with it. My little girl is dying. We have to get there. And he looks up, and what he feared the worst has happened. He looks up, and here comes one of his servants. Here comes one of the people from his house. And they said, don't trouble the master anymore. Don't bother him anymore because the little girl is dead. Well, he has to be. If he'd have just come, sounds like Mary and Martha, doesn't it? If he'd have just not taken the time out from coming to my house, he could have come back and healed this woman. He has to be exasperated about it. He has to be torn. You know, his heart's just ripped out of him. His little girl just died. I can't imagine going through that. But he's going through with it. What a horrible time Jairus is having. And Jesus said, don't worry. I'm still coming. I'm still coming to your house. I'm going to be there. And they get to his house. And she's been dead a little while. The professional, and they got him. The professional mourners were there. The people they hired to come and wail. And they were playing sad music and singing sad songs. And they were wailing and crying. And the family was crying. And everybody was crying. What a horrible time it was. What a terrible thing was going on at this house. And Jesus comes with his disciples and the whole crowd behind him, no doubt, pushing in. And they get to the house and Jesus puts everybody outside except the mother and the father and Peter, James, and John. And he says, we're going in. Now, as he goes, he says, don't be so distraught. Don't be so overwhelmed. For she's not dead. She's only sleeping. Well, they laughed him to scorn. They know she's dead. She's been dead for hours. She had to be dead for hours. For him to get there, for him to get through the crowd, for all the things that happened to happen, it had to be hours. She's been dead for hours. They have her laid out in a cool room by herself. And they're mourning. They go in and they cry and go through all the agonies and mournings. And Jesus is saying, but she's only asleep. They think he's gone crazy. They think he's something else because we know she's dead. We know what this is. And yet when they get out of the room and everybody gets out and Jesus walks over and takes the little girl's hand and says, little girl, get up. And my friend, she got up and he presented her to her parents and he said, and she's hungry, get her something to eat. And they got her something to eat. And the little girl was healed and delivered and began to praise God. Now, my friend, I could not separate the woman. The woman came because she wanted to touch Jesus and she needed healing. The father came for the same reason. He didn't touch him physically, but he touched him emotionally. He touched him with his heart, and he spoke to him, and he talked to him, and he delivered him. And the woman was healed of the issue of blood. She said, the minute, immediately, the blood stopped. Immediately she was healed. Yeah. So this lady was healed. This child was raised from the dead. How come? Because Jesus touched them? No. Because they touched Jesus. They touched Jesus. Look through the scriptures. I mean, so much of the time, we talk about the Lord touching us. But see, the Lord will move when you touch Him. When you reach out in faith and touch the Lord will touch you and deliver you and bring you out of it. I look at the woman. I look at Jairus. I look at Bartimaeus, sitting down by the wayside. He'd been sitting there for years. I wonder how many times Jesus had passed Bartimaeus by and nothing happened. Did you ever think about that? Every time he went to Jerusalem and he came down by Jericho and went up to Jerusalem, Bartimaeus was sitting there by the side of the road. Every time that crowd came down, every time he went to Passover, every time he went anywhere down in Jerusalem, he had to come by where Bartimaeus was begging beside the road. Never was healed. But one day when Jesus did come down, and he was on his last trip, by the way, to Jerusalem for the Passover. Wasn't it wonderful? Bartimaeus sitting there in his blindness, born blind, lived all of his life in blindness, could not see, could not have any kind of a living except whatever money somebody would put in his beggar's cup. And he's sitting by the side of the road, and he says to whoever's around him, "What is all that noise? What's going on?" And they said, "Well, Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet, the preacher, he's coming down the road, and he's coming by me." And immediately Bartimaeus says, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Yeah. Well, somebody says, "Shh, he's teaching. He don't want to be bothered with you. Shh, don't do that." The more they tell him to be quiet, the louder he gets. The more they tell him, you know, "You need to be quiet. You need to not let anything like this bother you." He's teaching. He's talking. He's doing something important, Bartimaeus. "You be quiet now and don't interrupt it." And he keeps saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stops and looks at a blind man. You wouldn't think he'd have to ask this question, but he has to. He says, "What would you have?" He said, "Lord, that I might see, that I might have my sight." And Jesus healed him immediately. And his eyes were opened, and he could see, and he was not blind anymore. Why? Because he had reached out to Jesus. As Jesus passed by, he reached out. He called out to him. I think about the lepers, the 10 lepers sitting along beside the road, who when they saw someone coming, put their hand over their lip, it was the law, put the hand over their lip like this, and began to call out, and they began to call, "Jesus, have mercy." And he asked them, "What do you want?" They want to be healed. They have leprosy. It's not just a physical disease. It's a social disease in that country. People do not touch a leper. People do not go to a leper's house. People do not invite a leper to come to their house. You cannot, if you're a leper, you cannot go to the synagogue or to the temple. You cannot go to public events. If you're a leper, you must live with the other lepers and live outside of town. You must live by yourself and away from everyone else. And so one day Jesus is coming by, and the lepers hear that Jesus is coming through. And what do? They start crying out. They start calling out to him to be healed. "Jesus, heal us. Jesus, we need it." And what does he do? He heals them, every one. All 10 of them in one word are cleansed of their leprosy and set free. Brothers and sisters, when I look at this morning, I have to ask you, have you reached out to touch Jesus? Do you have faith to believe that if you reach out, you can touch him? My friends, you can. How many of you have ever had a prayer answered that Jesus answered? Amen. We've all done that. We've all had prayers answered. He doesn't he'll do everything we want him to do the way he wants to do it and when he wants to do it. But my friend, he answers our request. He answers our need. And like Jairus, who asked him to come to his house, and like the woman who reached through just to touch him, like Bartimaeus, who cried out by the side of the road, the lepers who called out for healing. My friend, as they reached out to God to touch God, they believed they could touch him. They believed he could be touched. Here's the wonderful thing, my friend. Lots of people who are famous don't want to be touched. You know that? Lots of people who are famous don't want to be touched. I always felt bad about Conway Twitty because he didn't want anybody to touch him. I didn't want to touch him anyway. But I felt bad for his fans because he don't want to be touched. There's lots of famous people like that. Lots of powerful people like that. Hey, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the most wonderful human that ever lived on the earth. He is God in human flesh, living here on this earth. And my friend, he permits us to touch him. In fact, he encourages us to touch him. He is available to us. We have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I'm always so impressed by the shortest verse in the Bible. You know what that is, don't you? Yeah, there you go. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. You see, why does that impress you? Because Jesus cried and wept with those who mourned. He was going to resurrect Lazarus in 5 minutes, probably. He was going to call out Lazarus from the grave. But my friends, he wept. Why? Because he was touched. He was touched by their grief. He loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He spent a lot of time at their house. And when he saw them weeping, he paid attention to it. And their weeping touched him. And when he felt the touch of their weeping, the tears ran down his cheeks. Can you imagine Jesus weeping? The tears were running down his face. And he said, "But I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Wow, do you believe this, is what he said. Well, my brothers and sisters, we can reach out to him today. And there's an old chorus we used to sing sometimes, "Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by." My brothers and sisters, he's available. His power, his presence is available. I come today with the good news that he can be touched, that he does care. Remember the old hymn we used to sing sometimes? Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. He cares enough to be near. My friends, Jesus did not have to let that woman touch him. But when she touched him in faith, the power of God came from heaven and touched her forever. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me? Father God, I pray today, Lord, as we look at this wonderful story in the book of Luke, Lord, all of the things that you've done, as we look at all of the power of God that's been invested through Christ into us, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you heal and deliver. And Lord, we thank you that we have been privileged in our day and time to also believe that Jesus moves today the same as he moved in those days. Heavenly Father, give us faith. Give us faith, Lord, to reach out. Give us faith to reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Oh, Father, I pray that every heart here today and those listening by means of transmission somewhere will be touched by the hand of God, and the Spirit of Jesus can come and touch us and heal us. Lord, teach us to reach out. Teach us to reach out to touch you and to let your Spirit come in our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.